This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 7:36. It's Tuesday, the 25th of May. We've actually seen a powerful rally in the commodities markets in recent weeks, prompting traders and analysts to conclude that a commodities supercycle is to be expected, if not here already. Now, a supercycle is commonly described as a supply that is inadequate to demand growth that forces prices to rise for years, maybe even decades or more.
And we've seen that happening. Now, metals have hit record highs. Agricultural commodities like grains and dairy have also jumped, with corn prices above $7 a bushel for the first time in 7 years. Now, copper has traded above $10,000 for the first time since 2011, and soybeans hit an 8-year high. Analysts have pegged the rising prices of raw materials to strong demand from China, growing global interest in a green economy, and the increase of post-pandemic government spending programs.
So, to help us make sense of whether this commodity supercycle we're seeing, we're speaking this morning to Alejandra Grindal, the Chief International Economist at Ned Davis Research. Thanks for joining us this morning. Now, talk to us about this commodity supercycle that I keep seeing in the papers, even on Bloomberg, as we continue to see a surge in prices in oil and gas, metals and agriculture. What's going on here?
Great. And thank you so much for having me on again. When we look at this big surge in commodity prices, you know, to me, it really is all about imbalances caused by the pandemic. So we're seeing clearly a surge in global demand due to the vaccine rollouts and, as you mentioned before, the unprecedented fiscal and monetary stimulus. In fact, we expect global real GDP growth to actually come in at 6.1% this year. If we are correct, this would be the fastest growth since at least 1980. So that's a lot of demand there. And then at the same time, supply is just having a hard time catching up. It usually does. It tends, especially in the commodity world, it can't be very inelastic. I know I'm putting a nerdy economic term in there, but it just means that producers can't change output overnight. And that's the norm. But then you have in the fact that people are changing preferences significantly because of COVID. COVID restrictions is just making it harder for, actual manufacturing companies to operate. And this in turn has caused bottlenecks. And then, you know, little new supply. Maybe a lot of commodity producers are just sort of waiting it out to see if this is the real deal. So you hear stories about, you know, lumber, due to a shortage of sawmills and workers, poor weather. You mentioned the food prices, poor weather in South America is impacting agricultural output. So it's just sort of this perfect storm of factors leading to these higher prices.
But of course, the million-dollar question, okay, prices are up, but is it just going to be temporary? Because like you say, it's an imbalance in markets. Will it correct itself, or are we going to see a long period of price increases?
That is the million-dollar question, right? I mean, there's no doubt, you're right, that we're in a cyclical rally. And we do think there's actually more room to go, at least on a cyclical basis. As you mentioned before, China started off with its quick recovery, you know, before really any other part of the world, in its 2020 stimulus, which focused quite a bit on an industrial rebound and accumulation of commodities. And we may start seeing that stabilize a little bit. The government is worried about excess credit. We've seen some loan growth start to ease a little bit, just growth coming back to earth. But, you know, the fact that the rest of the world economy is following, you know, we have the U.S. followed by the U.K. and then Europe, and the rest of the world. I think at least from a, you know, cyclical perspective, we could keep commodity prices lifted in the near term. But, you know, really your question is this sustainable in the long term? And do we get that true super cycle? You know, what you said, those multiple, you know, years of, you know, increase in prices. And I think the jury is still out. So maybe you wanted a more specific answer for me. I think the jury is still out, but I will tell you that the possibility is not off the table. And this is why, like, if you think of the drivers, you know, many people who are maybe more bearish on the super cycle, you know, they look at the China commodity fueled super cycle in the early 2000s. I mean, that was insane, you know, and went through the 2000s, ended in 2011. In fact, according to our analysis, just looking at commodity super cycles starting from the year 1900, this had the highest gain per annum. We don't expect China to come back and do that sort of intensity of demand. I mean, they're still going to be doing that, but not to the same intensity. What we could see with a commodity supercycle, if there is one, as I said, the jury is still out, it could have more involvement among developed economies, and specifically the U.S. and Europe. I remember last time I was on the speaking to you guys, I talked about the American Jobs Plan. So this is an ambitious infrastructure plan, and it's not just coming, which again would demand a lot of commodities, right? And then that we're not on our own, right? The EU, is proposing the Next Generation EU program, which is also aimed at infrastructure. And if this does actually happen and it's robust and it's well done, this could have knock-on effects on commodity-producing emerging markets, and then they could use that extra income to build up their infrastructure. So, you know, I think it's too early to tell at this point, but there, you know, that there is a potential story if you look for it, more than say there was a couple of years ago.
Mm. And you know, you'd say that this is not an overnight situation, but the concern is that how will these commodity prices affect inflation concerns? Because how much does that contribute to rising inflation?
Sure. Yeah. No. It's definitely a big risk, and you know, really, if you think about it, if you have higher input costs, which we're seeing all over the world, there's a natural tendency to want to pass those costs on the consumers, right? Businesses want to keep their margins. But, you know, you have to step back and think about that there's no guarantee. There's a lot of things to keep in mind. You know, are these price increases sustained? So do they just last for, you know, till the end of the year, a few months, or do they last longer? Do businesses have the pricing power to move it on to consumers? I think that's been a key concern among a lot of developed economies. And are there other offsetting disinflationary forces? So one parallel I like to draw. So I talked about that China commodity-driven supercycle, you know, early 2000s. And if you look at overall CPI in the developed world, it was prone to a reasonable amount of volatility, you know, responding to rises in certain commodities, specifically oil and food, right? Energy and food. But if you actually look at the core CPI in the developed world, which excludes food and energy, even during that Chinese super commodity super cycle, that core rate stayed very, very subdued. So it tells you there's a lot of other things going on at the same time. Mm. And it's also really important to, you know, make this EM versus developed market argument. So, you know, emerging market CPIs, if you look at their baskets, they're generally more sensitive to commodity prices, mainly because of the food component. So a lot of emerging markets, you know, put somewhere between 25% to up to even 50%. I think this is in the case of India. Food alone is a big part of that basket. Whereas if you look at a lot of developed market CPI baskets, they rely much less on food and have a relatively larger weight in services. So in that case, you know, developments in wages and productivity and labor markets are just as important, if not more important, elements to look at.
And we had some news overnight coming out that the Chinese government is really trying to clamp down on this rise of commodities by summoning top executives or metal producers to threaten them with punishment if they were hoarding. Do you think all this kind of policy intervention will actually make a difference to the current price increases?
Well, I think honestly, in the case of China, I think, you know, even before that announcement came out, we actually wrote a piece last week and said that, you know, Chinese commodity demand, you know, especially when you compare it to what we saw over the summer and through late last year, we expected it to sort of ease down anyway. We were seeing it in the credit data. The government doesn't want to see inflated areas. So part of it is we were sort of anticipating this to happen. I think the real story of whether this short-term cyclical boom continues is what the rest of the world is doing. So how, you know, if the U.S. recovery continues on its way, if Europe soon follows after that, if the emerging world follows after that. So I think those will be the biggest drivers if this short-term cyclical cycle keeps on going up.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Alejandra Grindal, Chief International Economist at Ned Davis Research, saying that the jury is still out on whether this is a commodity supercycle. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.